Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the BNP podcast. We are done with the domestic seasons all across Europe. There was drama in England, Spain, Italy, and even France, to be honest. I'm your host, Advait, and we've got Shubham, Nihar, Jehan, Lokesh, Aditya, and we just can't wait to discuss it with you guys. So we'll start off with the Premier League in England. And, you know, Man City winning the title just is expected, you would say. It wasn't all that way. What do you think, Jehan? Man City winning the title? Kind of expected, don't you think?
Yes, very well expected, as from the start of the season only they were termed as favourites. But obviously Pep Guardiola is the mastermind behind it with the squad depth and all.
How does it feel like praising Man City, Jehan, by the way? How does it feel?
No, it's fine. I mean, as I always say, I really admire Man City being a Man United fan, but to us, not when they play against United, of course, because Manchester is red ultimately. But anyway, but still, Man City, yeah. You got to credit them. You got to credit them the way they have played, especially during when they had the 21 unbeaten streak. So, yes, I mean, they did deserve.
Sorry to cut you here, but it all started when during game week 14 or 15 when they had Chelsea and they had just 14 players on the playing squad.
Yes.
Snapped like that. They won every game from there. They were on this fantastic run and deservedly so there in the European Champions League final.
Yes, because see, Advait, we saw also how they started up the season. Leicester thrashing them at Etihad, 5 goals. This Copa scored 5 goals at Etihad. Then they beat. They lost against Spurs in a space of a week. So they were precisely 8th or 9th in the league at once. And suddenly, they just had a run of 21 unbeaten. So that's commendable. I mean, from there, they never stopped. Then they like ultimately when Man United put them to breaks. Right. But that was too late, I guess.
Right. So to summarize the final day theatrics, Lokesh, I mean, considering Chelsea, Leicester and Liverpool were all in the race for the top, the third and fourth positions. I mean, considering the fact that United sealed the second place by game week 36 or 35. It was a fantastic run to begin with, right? The third and fourth, Liverpool bagging 3, Chelsea bagging 4. And of course, Leicester, you know, bottling it just like the last season. What do you make of all that?
Well, for me, the standout is Leicester, you know, going out of top 4 again. This is the second season, in a row that it's happening. And it's disappointing to see the team, drop out. More than, I feel, I didn't think Chelsea actually deserved it for the entire season.
Chelsea don't deserve it? Well, I think Chelsea deserves to be in the top four, though.
No, for the start that they had, it was really bad. As long as Frank was there. It's only when Tuchel came and, things just fell in place so well for him. And for the team that, they started getting results. So from then on, they played very well. They've been a very good and consistent team. But then overall, I feel throughout the season, if you see, I feel Leicester deserved to be in the top four rather than Chelsea.
Right. So you think the top four is justified, do you think? Do you think it's justified? Or? I don't think so, right? You think
with the results that's come up, you could say it is justified. I expected Liverpool to be there in the top four as well. And considering the injuries that they had, and they still made it. So, it's a commendable effort for Liverpool as such. So, I feel they completely deserved it with everything that's gone bad for them in the season. If it was any other team, I don't...
Right. So, that's what... Jehan, what do you think? Liverpool deserve their spot in number 3, considering the season?
No, I hate that team. But yeah, the way they ended the season, I mean, the last 4 or 5 games, the way they played, they did deserve to win. I mean, they deserve to come in the top 4, but because they beat United, they beat who did they beat in the final day? Crystal Palace, the way they played and the way they had their away games, they took their chances and won games, especially when they had to. So, yeah, they did deserve to. But I feel Leicester also should have been there, up there, because with the way they were, for 262 days, they were there in the top 4 and suddenly on the final day, they just dropped it. So that was the second season running. Yeah, it was a record, in fact. I'm really shocked, in fact, because Chelsea, on the other hand, had around 127 days only in the top 4. Liverpool had 167 days And seeing Leicester, like more than half, like more than the entire season, they were in the top four, and suddenly on the final day, in the second half of the tournament, like end of the game, they just dropped them off. The second season running that too.
Yeah. So this is just a question I would like to open up to the whole panel here. Do you think winning the FA Cup had an impact on Leicester's demise? I would like to know what you guys feel.
I mean, it had a slight demise because they had to. They don't have as big of a squad as Chelsea or, you know, Man City have, or even United. They don't have big squad. They are very limited squads. That's why teams like even West Ham, they could not, you know, make a top four mount. They were there, but they just could not. They don't have that rich squad even coming off the bench.
Right.
It's okay, man. I mean for a club like Leicester.
West Ham were in some terrific form up to game week 35 or 34. But then, as Aditya said, if you don't have strong enough squad to compete in all fronts, I guess you just bottle it.
One thing I'd like to say is it goes to show that, I mean, people say that Premier League is the best league in the world. I don't think so. It's not a best league. I mean, you look at Liverpool there. You had two centre backs who were not, you know, Premier League centre back. They just came at, you know, in January. And teams were not able to, you know, rip Liverpool apart. They should not have been in top four. I mean, it just goes to show that how crappy teams are in, you know, the bottom of Premier League and even in the mid-table.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even the mid-table teams like, you know, West Ham, Leicester, who else could we tell? Everton also, they had...
Leeds United.
Even Aston Villa, Tottenham.
Not Arsenal, actually.
Arsenal, I expected them to finish like at least 6th, 7th. They're anywhere right there. But then teams like Tottenham,
We'll take a deeper look into teams like Arsenal and Tottenham, because that is definitely not where they want to finish on where they were expected to finish. But before we move on, I'd just like to analyze why teams like Leicester and West Ham keep falling off, and Aditya just rightly said so, because of the squad and all. But Liverpool, on the other hand, don't have a rich squad as you.
They do have a very rich squad. What do you think of that? They have a rich squad.
Liverpool do have a good squad, actually. Yeah.
They have a very good squad. With the same squad, they have won the Champions League, Premier League, and the Super Bowl.
They sell the narrative of being depleted very well. That is the only thing. If you can sell it.
Injuries costed them, maybe.
I mean,
they have replaced a lot of people.
No, Leicester was playing FA Cup, Europa League, and, you know, the Premier League. And I mean, and that's one, I could say that's one, you know, get out of the free card that Leicester players and fans can say that. I mean, Liverpool were not playing, you know, Champions League till, I think they went out of round of 16, right?
Right. So, there are three teams in London which are well known for, which is Chelsea, Tottenham and Arsenal. Before we get to the other two, let's just say, do you guys think Chelsea deserve their top four? Do you think Leicester deserved it more? What is your stance on it? I feel they do deserve it because they've had...
Leicester did deserve it with the amount of days they were in the top four. They did deserve it. But obviously, it is... They themselves have to be blamed as to how they played the final two games. They had to capitalize it and take their chances and had to win the game.
Right. As a fan, though, would you want your team to lift a FA Cup or... Would you want your team to finish top four? This is the last question. After that, we'll move on to Tottenham.
I mean, it depends upon what kind of club you're supporting. If you're Leicester,
it's fine. Like Leicester City, it's fine.
If you're Manchester United or Chelsea, you would want to win FA Cup and come in top four.
Right.
But financially, it doesn't make sense, right? See, FA Cup, if you're winning FA Cup, you'll get $1.8 million. But if you qualify
one thing is, they have never won an FA Cup. For the fans, they have never won it.
For Leicester, it is the case. But for any other club like the big ones, it will be a tricky question again. See, for example, a club like Manchester City, I mean, if you ask them, you want FA Cup or Champions League qualification, they would say CL qualification any day.
Not really, because clubs, they play to win. Revenue is always there. But then, I would say as a Leicester fan, if I was a Leicester fan, I would rather see them winning the FA Cup this season, and very disappointed and bitterly, I would be okay to watch them fall out of the top four. But I would at least and see that too,
a struggling Tottenham, that too. Not even kidding. I mean, not bragging it, but the way Tottenham were this season, like, they Leicester should have won, and especially in front of their fans at the final, on the final day. They had home advantage as well. So, yes. And they were in a very good form. They deserved to be in top four, according to me.
Right. So, talking about Tottenham, as we're rightly so, I mean, considering the squad, considering the wingers they have, considering they just had Mourinho, that is a brilliant squad. I mean, why is it not in top four, five? Why is it not there? I mean, what is going wrong at the Tottenham? Because what do you
when
think?
When Mourinho left, they were only some 3 points again away from top four. No, not three, so 5 or 6 points. So it's not that tough to catch them if he had, you know, proper thing of his will. So I guess, you know, they took a premature decision in sacking him just before the cup final, considering that he's the only manager to ever beat Pep in a final till date. And obviously, new manager of 29 years old, you really can't expect much for them, you know, for them like firing up and all at this point of season. So the kudos to them. I mean, they at least managed to secure the Conference League spot. I mean, they will be the actual the favorites, I guess, to win. Because the rest of the teams are like pretty below average considering the standards of Europa too.
Yeah, so we're talking about UEFA Conference League, which is a new format of competition, which we will not be discussing here because of obvious reasons. But then again, I feel that with the squad, because you just said Mourinho did well with the squad, and I don't agree with that sort of proposition because Mourinho did not do well with that squad. The squad at his disposal was Kane, Son, these talents who would fit into any team, he would start any team.
But
then again,
you know,
given
the
his
culture
of
right.
this defensive football organization, I think he drastically failed at Tottenham. But I don't see why people would say he was sacked early because.
So what if he had won the cup final and would you consider it be a little bit success then?
No, stepping stone. At least a step, forward step. My like, if you ask me, then
I think a lot
if they would win or something. Hello.
Yeah,
right.
I would say Tottenham struggles is related with
Jose
Mourinho itself. I don't think he made good use of the team. He didn't get them to play well. He got a few members,
right.
like Kane and Son, to gel well and play better up front, but then he couldn't get the defense sorted. He couldn't gel the wing backs that he had. He didn't have.
Yeah.
He couldn't get the midfielders that he had in position. Defense
you know,
was
but,
little
but
deep,
at
I
one
agree.
Point of time, I mean, at one point of time, Tottenham were at the top of the league. They defeated United at the start of the season. United and even Manchester City. So
even
to
City,
say
yeah.
that Jose Mourinho failed
City,
at
yes.
Tottenham is wrong. The players failed him.
No, you can't tell that by just a couple of 2-3 matches initially. You know, anyone can beat anyone. Even Sheffield beat United. It doesn't mean the manager is, you know, very good.
I mean,
the
best way to answer this, the best way to probably answer this question is if you would give the squad to any other manager, would it be the same situation with Tottenham? Finishing below Champions League record?
It could be. See, there's this false perception that, you know, if this person was there, they would have scored. If this coach was there, they would have done much better. We all saw what happened with Arteta. He was, you know, known to be very nice tactically. And when he took over Arsenal, he won the FA Cup in the first season. And, you know, a lot of things were expected out of him. But then he struggled this season. Very badly he struggled, even by his own standards. But yes, if you compare that way, we could say that, you know, if... say Brendan Rodgers had this Tottenham team. Probably,
right.
yes, he would have finished top four. He would have even won the FA Cup with them.
Right.
So, yeah, you could say things like that. But it's not a guaranteed thing. But
yeah,
yes,
I mean,
some other manager could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was leaning into because another manager would have probably got more from this squad. But we'll quickly move on to Arsenal. How many of you guys actually think Arteta should be getting the sack? Because I just want to know where you guys stand. I feel he should be. For a club like Arsenal, finishing 9th or 8th is not acceptable. And if the club is accepting it, that means it's fine. So, what do you guys think? Should he be sacked?
No, I don't think so. I think he should be given another year.
Okay.
Considering the situation that, you know, all the clubs are in, financially, everyone is in a bad state.
Right.
That's one.
I mean, second, we can look at it from two perspectives. One second, before I give you my. We can look at it from two perspectives. One is the financial side of things, and one is the performance side of the thing. And you're 1-0 down at home. You've got to score one goal. And there is no sense of urgency from the team at all. It's a disastrous first half. Second half, you know, manager was trying to give them the confidence and motivation to at least play. And you're at home. You're not away. And you need one goal. And the team is no urgency whatsoever. I mean, how could you as a fan tolerate any of this? Yeah, given he's a club legend and all. What makes you... what are the factors that you consider favoring him for the job?
The things I consider is, you know, I think Arteta is very good tactically. He's pretty good in the way he would want to play. But he does not have the team right now to be able to play that way. And I think he's trying to sort out a lot of issues off the field. Like, you know, we've seen he's being... very strict, even with the captain, Aubameyang. No, if he turned up late, he dropped him. Right. So, you know, Arteta has such, strong. He's so strong-headed, he's not scared of taking the hard decisions, even if the team can be affected by those decisions. Right. But, you know, he's doing things that is right for the team. And as you told, the players themselves, you know, they're not showing that urgency. There's no coach that can do anything there. You can get Mourinho, Pep, all of them in one team. And, you know, if the players are not up to it, there's no point. There's nothing the coach can do. So
even if you sack Arteta, who is going to come at Arsenal? The club is in such a mess. Who would want to, you know, dip their toes in such take a that mess?
Good evening.
Jan, I wonder what you think of it. Shubham and all, of course, everyone is welcome. But Jan, I think, what do you think of Arsenal, man?
No, I agree with what Lokesh is trying to say. As in, Arteta has been, in fact, doing well in fact with this kind of a squad.
Okay.
So another point I would want to make with Arsenal right now that, you know, see, there's a lot of expectations from everyone. Every team tell that, you know, we are supposed to be there. We are supposed to be in this top four. It actually is not a given. The same thing is surrounded for the club Manchester right. United also, wherein, you know, they keep telling that, you know, yeah. United should be winning titles. They should be in the top. They should be in the Champions League. But that is not given. And in that way, it's similar to Arsenal. The things that they're facing right now is a consequence of what? Of bad planning or, you know, not investing in the squad well, not getting the right players for over a number of years. The past 3-5 years has been bad. So it's you can't put the
accumulation of
entire blame on Arteta telling that, you know, in two seasons, he's not been able to get the team on par as to where Arsenal should be.
Right.
So that again is very, unreasonable for the club to expect. Like, you know, even United learned it the hard way now. That, you know, right. They can't just get a top-class manager, buy that marquee player and be like, you know, okay, yeah, we'll win the league. It's a process and you need to be patient with it. Manchester City has shown that to us. Liverpool has shown that to us in the past 4 years. So it's the same with Arsenal now. They have to stick with Arteta. Say, give him another 1 or 2 years also, I would say. Like, you know, you should be able to build the team and they should be able to pick it up from that next season or 2 seasons, you know. And then go ahead with, say, managerial change and probably come back into the top four. There's no chance that, you know, they can just come back to top four next season. Right. They will have to fight for Europa League first, then Champions League, then probably hope.
I mean, obviously, it will be very interesting to see the rise of clubs like Tottenham and Arsenal, who were once the pinnacle. I mean, not Tottenham per se, but Arsenal, who were once the pinnacle of English football. But we'll quickly move from Premier League and we'll move to Spain, La Liga, which has been scintillating right from the start, to be honest. This is an exciting title race. And we've got Shubham and Nihar to talk about just one thing, which is the most important question. How did Atletico get it?
They should get it. I mean, considering that they were having a healthy lead of 13 points at in January, I guess. I mean, they didn't bottle it exactly, but yeah, they let our opponents catch up. I mean, I won't say Real Madrid or Atletico when Barcelona did... wonders or something, they just keep winning and Atletico just kept losing points. And they let the pressure kill them, but thankfully, both the opportunities what Real and Barca got, they didn't capitalize on them. Both the teams had their chances to go to the tabletop, but they lost or they drew, and eventually, you know, letting Atletico have their fate in their own hands. And I guess that led them to a win, and I guess that's pretty appreciative, because considering fans, even fans are against Simeone's tactics and everything before the start of the season, they were calling, they were expecting him to get sacked and everything.
Right.
So, and
was Simeone under pressure though? Was he under pressure?
Yeah, was. Not exactly like how Real Madrid managers are, but yeah, in a way he was. I mean, fans are turning up against him because recently there is no proper success for them. Because they didn't, previously they had two Champions League final appearances, and they didn't exactly tear up in UCL recently, and even they are finishing third often. So this season is crucial, and we delivered, I guess.
Right. So one question I would like to probably like to ask is, did Barca and Madrid give them the title or they earned it? What would you rather?
I'll tell you one thing, one simple thing. Real Madrid is the best Spanish club this season. No, doesn't matter, they won zero trophies. Because they had more than 60 injuries. They literally pulled, you know, they had a Champions League semi-final. They played there and they tried to win it in second leg, but Chelsea got away. Chelsea won convincingly anyway. And even the last match there, Real Madrid were pushing for it. And Barcelona, though, I mean, everyone wrote them off. But yeah, they kind of came back, but they let the gas off after the Copa del Rey win. I mean, really, Barcelona should have actually been winners, you know, the odds are in favor of them. They lost crucial points against so many weak teams. They lost at home twice, I guess. And they drew an away match having a two-goal advantage. I mean, you really can't leak goals and call yourself a championship side. I mean, you know, the La Liga team scored more than 70 goals. Barcelona scored 80 plus. But what good? They conceded 40. So, it doesn't matter. You win games, but you won't win championships.
That just comes to my point. Do you think that win in Copa del Rey had an impact on the team? I mean, if it had, it should be a positive impact, right?
It should be, yeah, that's the point. Even the squad was, everyone was assuming that. But see, I think Koeman had run out of gas with the tactics and everything. And even the formation, the 3-5-2 worked for a while, but even that formation had its flaws. See, coming to Barcelona, 4-3-3 is a traditional one. I mean, you want to rotate, change the tactics, but you have to come back to 4-3-3 eventually. Simple as that. So, and even the players they have right now, because of their improper transfer business, though some players are not suited for that style of play, and Koeman is not exactly a fan of that formation. So, so many reasons to blame them. But the point is, Barca were not exactly the favourites from match day 35. They fall upon Real and Atletico, and Real did their part. They won all the games possible, except for that Sevilla's draw at home. That also a bit crucial, I guess, because of the penalty awarded to the Sevilla side when there is a foul called on Real side. But yeah, everyone had their own perceptions over there. But yeah, because Atletico are the deserved winners at the end.
So we'll quickly move on to Real Madrid before I pose 2-3 questions about Barcelona. So the thing was like, what part of blame would Ronald Koeman take on this, Nihar? What do you think of the coach? Should it be, if you were, as a fan, would you like him to stay?
See, I'll be appreciative that, you know, he came to this club at a very crisis time. I mean, really, you know how the situation was last year? The chaos and every mess. He took over, I mean, he was happily managing the Netherlands side and they were comfortably good. Still, he left that and he came to Barcelona and appreciate that. But his tactics are not exactly the ones, you know, the players from La Masia are equipped with, and even the players right now, the senior players are well equipped with. Because he really tried so many formations. Yeah, he found some success early of this year. But eventually, I told you, his substitutions are very predictable and the usage of players are very predictable, everything. So, point on the defense is very weak. I mean, considering he is a very good defender, but I really don't know how come he cannot organize a proper defense. So that's the irony of it. So, I would like him to go because considering the options are good.
So, who would you rather have? If not Koeman, then who?
See, Xavi is not exactly ready. So, I would like to, you know, like him to come back to the Barca B and coach for 1 year at least, like how Pep did. So I guess I would be happy if Simeone Tagay took over the Barca B coach. He's been at Barca for so many years.
The thing with Barcelona is no one wants to go there because they get butchered. Take any single coach that would have gone there. Just name any coach after Pep Guardiola. Because the problem with you guys, you compare everyone with Pep Guardiola. That is the only problem. We want them to win
the Bulls. I find it hysterical. No, I find it hysterical that a Real Madrid fan is saying the Barca job is acting, because all I hear about Real Madrid is that they compare themselves to Zidane. I mean, come on, Shubham, you've got to do better.
No, that Barcelona, the thing with, I don't hate the fans. The only thing is they compare every day. They just set the gold standard and they want to achieve it with a shit team. That should not be there. Please look at your team and then set the expectation.
Yeah. No, I agree with Shubham. I mean, I think Valverde's second season also, people were like, we are going for a treble. I mean, what better they're telling you, treble is something big. I mean, it's a once in 100. You know, some big club didn't win treble yet. People are, fans are expecting that. That's so dumb of anyone. Yeah, the expectations are too high. But, you know, Luis Enrique was pretty good. He won the treble. He was very successful. But Valverde was very good domestically. Seriously, I mean, literally, Barca were on top till the time he left. Even the time, the season he got sacked, he was on top of the table. Well, the scapegoat came, Setien, and obviously, no one expected Setien to last. And he went in 6 months. And you know, the elections came, Kimon took over because of his crisis case. But right now, I guess things are going a bit better because they really got back the director, the president of the club, who had a successful past, who had the best club team ever. Nice. At his disposal. I mean, the one who is responsible for formation of that.
So, Shubham was just talking about expectations and all. As a fan, what do you he claimed that the squad is actually very bad. As a fan, what do you think? Is your squad bad? Do you have the squad that is capable of winning La Liga? What do you think?
No, I mean, really no. I wouldn't say that. Come on. I mean, see, Messi is aging. Dembele is not fit. He's fit, but yeah. I mean, see, Griezmann is real. I don't know why they got Griezmann, the previous board. Griezmann is not a guy who can be your... You can fit into 4-3-3 formation. I mean, if you want to play the passing style. Seriously, no. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Why Griezmann is there still? I mean, I'm seriously saying if Barca appoints other coach who really prefers this Cruyff's philosophy of play, Griezmann can't stay at Barcelona. He can't try. That's simple as that.
I have questioned on Griezmann, particularly to you.
Could I answer the squad part? Just a point?
Yeah. Go on, Lokesh.
Yeah. With the team, I would say, you know, Messi's become a problem with them, with every manager that comes.
Yes.
You know, they have to play a certain way that Messi is, you know, it favors him. And there are other positions that have to fall in place for him to work the best as well. And I don't think any manager has been able to, I think post the Neymar, Suarez, Messi trio, no? Post that, I don't think there's been a good link up between, say, the manager and the entire team having Messi in, as the pole player out there. And that one, and also the squad, yeah, I don't think it's as good as it should be for them to be winning the league. They're still having a lot of, you know, players who are quite old and they haven't replaced well. And the other youngsters have not performed to the mark as well. So. Yeah.
No. Youngsters overperformed this season. I mean, Barcelona recently never gave any chance to any youngster. But this season really got good youngsters out. I mean, thanks to the injuries or any other reason, but really the youngsters overperformed. Pedri.
Tell me three youngsters that are destined to have a good future, Nihar, in Barcelona right now.
See, yeah, Pedri, first guy. Fati, I can say, but last season he was prominent. Yeah, last season he was prominent anyway. So, Fati is going to be a future star.
Fati.
And if you can come to the defense, Ronaldo. Yeah, Ansu Fati, yeah.
Ansu Fati, yeah, what, he's very Ansu.
This season, what has he done?
Injured. I mean, what has he done? He's injured. From November, he's injured. When he played for 2 months, he scored 5 goals.
There's a nutshell of everything. So if you depend on a 17-year-old to come and win you trophies and everything, when you have Messi, Griezmann, Dembele and PK, that shows how poor the team is. So please take this shot.
Okay, isn't that what Messi did when he came onto the pitch?
What did he do?
But that was Messi. People. And he had players like Ronaldinho and all who were performing. Unlike where, you know, Fati comes in and no one is playing. What will he do? He's also not a Messi.
Okay. Let's just leave with Fati. Who was the third player Nihar was referring to? A young player who has a bright
future. Ronald guy, Uruguayan defender. He's really good. He's the only player in Europe who didn't get dribbled past this season.
Who? I didn't get his name. Sorry.
His name is Ronald. I don't know the pronunciation. It spells with Araujo. So he's a Uruguayan defender.
Yeah. I heard him.
So he is pretty good. He's run for the future, I guess. So
I thought you would say Ricky Puig, but. whatever.
No, I can't say that because he didn't play enough time on the pitch to demonstrate his skill. Whatever right. might be the reason, but yeah, I really can't say that because he didn't even get qualified for under 21 Spanish for this other, which is scheduled to be held this June.
Right. So, one last question with Barcelona, and then we'll wrap up Barca. What is your take on? I mean, you've got to address the point Lokesh made. Is Messi a hindrance? Is Messi a hindrance to this team?
No.
See, it's like both of us. I can say it. Yes or no? See, no, because he scores 30 league goals for you, and he provides assists also. It's not like he can't score. He can't do anything. He gives you assists. He gives you key passes. Everything. He creates a lot for you. He plays like a midfielder too at some point in every game. See, and one more thing, yeah, I tell you this. These players who get treated like a superstar like Ronaldo and Messi, managers' tactical flexibility gets hindered to some point. They really can't express their ideas fully. I mean, seriously, I mean, Simon is not a guy who can have full control over Messi, right? Any manager. So obviously, you plan your things from Messi to Messi or from Messi. So there is already a cap, limited cap of things which you can use. Because Messi is not a guy who can come back and do the defensive duties for you. So you already have to play through that, and obviously at some point for defense or something gets sequenced. So, yeah.
Nihar, would you have Messi in the team for the next season? Yes or no? Just a bullion.
Yes, why not? Why not?
Yes. Yeah, even I back that. Guy, I don't think he's a hindrance.
This is a guy who scored you 38 goals and 14 assists this season, and why do you not want him in the squad?
Correct. They need to find the balance of having him and getting others to also perform and deliver.
Right? See, they never really replaced Suarez. They never replaced Neymar. So they really didn't bother to replace the. No, you imagine your only number 9 in the entire squad is Martin Braithwaite. Only striker in the entire registered squad. So that speaks of something how bad the squad is. Yeah, so the changes are yet to come. I mean, this is going to be a revolutionary window, at least for Barcelona. Because so many, as far as I know, 12 people are kept on transfer list, including the big names like Griezmann and everyone. Yeah, so get the new players, take some time. Next season also, you can't really expect them to win everything or win even La Liga. It's very tough.
So that was our take on Barcelona. But just to finish up, Nihar, I just want to know your stance on PK here, because he's a prominent figure in the Barcelona team and around as well. So what do you think his future? Where do you think his future lies? Because Ramos's future lies.
Not a starter anymore, but yeah, he can be a really good rotational player because he is obviously a very respected figure in the dressing room. And considering the other centre-backs, I think 20, 21, 20 again. Three of the promising centre-backs for Barca next season, including Eric Garcia. So I think he should be there around at least for a season or two just to give that support and teach the youngsters in that way, I'm telling. So, yeah, but he will leave right now because it will leave the defense without any proper leader. Because he's still a leader, though he's bad as a player recently, but can't take away the leadership factor from this.
Right. So we've kind of lost you there for a minute. So just to brush that up. So the players who are incoming this season would likely be Sergio Aguero, who is a phenomenal talent, obviously. He's a legend of City.
Memphis Depay, apparently, and Eric Garcia. And there are some other reports going on with the several youngsters, but I'm definitely sure none of them will be brought to the club right now. And they are looking at a left-footed center back.
So just to get back on Memphis Depay here, I mean, he's played really well for United and he's really done well for Lyon as well. So where do you think he would play in this Barcelona setup? Will Griezmann be off then?
See, Griezmann should be off. If they're really going for Depay and all, Griezmann should be off. They should sell him off. Because the only player who can get you good amount right now from Barcelona squad is Griezmann.
See, because the thing is,
he knows everyone's market value drop. Yeah, I mean, Griezmann's value is still good, 70 million solid, I guess. So, and he actually did very well in 2021, the later half of the season, thankfully. So, I think he can be sold off to a decent amount, 60 at least. So, yeah, I mean, he should be off, man. I mean, if you really want to play the Barca way, he can't fit into this.
I don't know. I don't see anyone interested in Griezmann. Not even United is past suitors. So, I don't know.
Right, David Alba also. He's also free. Like, everyone free on the market.
No. Realistic.
Arsenal might be interested if he's for free.
Everyone,
right?
Bhai, kharido bhai.
Let's see how it will turn out to be. But and they are planning for a high profile signing, and they ruled out Haaland. So I don't think so. I mean, Aguero would be that high profile so called.
Like me walking into Gucci store with 30k salary, bro. And credit card debt with 5,000 or 10,000, something like maxed out credit card. And
Barcelona
into
got
their
500 million loan last week. Yeah. Oh, they're planning to use it. Oh, I don't know how it will come into fruition right now.
So
considering
it, it goes like the surprise, Haaland is not coming. And I'm like, bro, we already knew that.
And yeah, I mean, no one is going to go after Haaland this summer because they are asking 150 minimum, knowing that next season it will be 75. So no one is in a hurry right now to replace the number one except Barcelona and Manchester City. And you know how Kane is linked to the City. So yeah, only Barcelona, and they are getting Aguero. No? I don't really think.
We'll talk about high profile signings a little bit later in this episode. But we'll just get to that part where there's going to be a huge debate around Erling Haaland next year. And we'll cover it in depth for sure. But that's not something that current two teams are interested in paying for. So we'll quickly end Barcelona with transfers we'll cover later or probably in the next show. But we'll make sure we discuss on that. But covering Barcelona was a real intense one. But we'll get to a more intense one perhaps, which is Real Madrid. And listen, people say they've got the best squad in Spain. People say they've bottled it. People say Zidane have done a fantastic job. But I'd like to hear what actual Madrid fan thinks of this current season as it went. Shubham?
Okay, their simple reaction is till 87th minute, I was like...
Your take Madrid on how Madrid performed this season?
Yeah. Till 87th minute of the last game, I was like, fuck Madrid, what is happening? Everyone is trying cross. Then comes Benzema, scores one. 93rd minute, Modric comes, scores another one. I was like, yeah, nice. By that time, I opened one football, I saw Atletico Madrid already won. I'm like, fuck. What the fuck, bro? So yeah,
right, but would you be content with a season with no trophies at all? Would a Madrid fan be able to do that?
Yeah, why not, bro? Just look at our squad, bro. Like Odriozola, people like the two trolls in the previous season have given one of the best performances. They stepped up when it was needed to. One is Odriozola, the second one is Lucas Vazquez. So there are literally Reddit subreddits for Lucas Vazquez where you go and find funny memes about Vazquez. But that was still the last season. Not anymore because he has become legend.
So this one question I would like to ask the Madrid fans here. I mean, it was not long ago that you guys are trolling Zidane joker of a manager because his game management in turn. Hear me out. His game management has been questioning to a lot of people because all you hear is the team crossing in and all that. I mean, this year you were on the verge of elimination from group stages, I guess. So, I mean, how did he turn that around and how did you turn your opinion around Zidane and all? Because now he's, a feature now, right now, Zidane.
See, as a fan, I want to see goals. I want to see a bit of clean sheets. I want to see 3 points at the end of the day. That is as a fan I want. Okay, and he has given me that. And till the last day, he has given me that. With 61-62 injuries at his backlog, he has given me that. He has taken to Champions League semi-finals with a very shit squad and playing, I don't know who all at the backside. People like Blanco starting in the matches. Like your team, people have come and played. So the tactics has been the same. There is no change in tactics. 100 crosses coming in the game, 2 goes in. Done. Benzema does some nice next level job. Ball goes in, done. So that is the entire tactics. I mean, for Zidane, only one tactic. Cross the ball, someone with head or Benzema will do something next level. So that has been the tactic.
So the many times you refer to this injuries per se. So I just like to get across this. How many of them are actually injured? So what do you have? Do you have the meta of the players who are actually injured though?
Yeah.
Eden Hazard
is injured. Ramos only played 15 games in all competitions this season. Rafael Varane was injured and due to COVID he was out. Danny Carvajal was out almost the entire season because of his continuous injury. So these are the first team players. These are not even the bench players.
I get it. So,
Toni Kroos was out of COVID. Only the players who have played the entire time was Casemiro, Luka Modric and Karim Benzema. These are
what
the
about the wingers? You have a lot of potential around the wingers. So were they injured as well?
Wingers who?
I mean,
like,
I know Hazard.
Ferland Mendy was injured.
Lucas Vazquez.
Lucas Vazquez was also injured. So literally.
And Rodrigo was in his worst form of his life.
15 games.
Yeah, Rodrigo having this worst form of his life. I mean, he was like what as good as he was useless.
20 years, bro. What life are you telling me?
Bro, come on, bro. He could have done better, man.
Huh? He could have done better, but he plays on right wing. He is a left winger or center midfielder, like center forward. He is not a right wing person. So he's a right footed player playing on the right wing. So just imagine what kind of a performance he's putting in.
So we'll get to the individual player's perspective here. So if you were to start a Real Madrid front three right now, what would that be?
See, I like Mariano a lot. So I would pick him along with Benzema. I'll go with two people in forward. And then at the back will be Hazard if he's fit.
So it's not four. I don't
give Vinny any chances or Rodrigo any chances anymore because they have been given chances and they have not proven well. So I would rather put them on loan and get back Kubo and.
What about Isco and Asensio?
Isco doesn't play that much and he's not in the best of shapes as well. He's not good. And I get the legacy.
But is it because of the game time?
Game time, bro. Game time is earned. Game time is not given you on a platter, bro. You have to earn game time. Just because you have performed two seasons back really well won't earn you a start in this season. So
you're right, Shivam. The coach selects you on basis of what you do in the 5 training sessions, right? In a week. I mean, if you really can't show the coach that you are fit for it or you can perform, why would he select you? Simple as that.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, that is the thing. But in a nutshell, bro, this has been a really good season. And I think it has been Zidane's one of the best season. As a manager, he has proved a lot. Like he did not had the lights of Ronaldo, Ramos, Marcelo, Isco on their top. And then still he has managed to drag this team till the very end, till the last minute of the last day.
I mean,
the four names
you mentioned were quite prominent in the historical three-peat of, you know, Barcelona's Champions League historics, Real's Champions League historics. I mean, all four of them were missing, weren't they?
All four Ronaldo. Of them, along with you can also count in Cruz for a majority of and Varane.
I think a lot. Yeah, and Varane, correct. Right. So, I mean, we'll just discuss about the centre back pairing because we're on the topic. Sergio Ramos, as a fan's perspective, I mean, look, he's not there in the Spain squad. We've just got that news and we'll delve on the Euro squads a little bit later in the next week per se. But what do you think of his performance and why do you think he doesn't deserve a contract or does deserve a contract? Where do you stand on this?
Let's talk about the Euro selection making an impact on his contract negotiation. So this will definitely impact his contract. He won't be getting that much salary. Florentino Perez has a valid point now. So he can literally shrug him off, saying that you're not even in this squad. Why should I even pay you this much of amount of money? You have not been playing for a very long time. This is the reason. And if he wants to go on Real Madrid wages to some other team, fine with it. I really think.
What do you guys think about it, the rest of the panel?
I would see it more of a long-term relationship that Ramos has with the club. Perez has not let him go, you know, multiple occasions since the time he was young, when he, you know, made his name. And even say as good as, as far as even just a couple of seasons back, United were linked with him. So I don't think they will let him go. It's best to still have him on board. Say, at least even as a, probably not to start all matches, but as a fringe player, if Ramos if he can be convinced, then yeah, I would say he should stay in the club.
You're talking about the club who really let go of Ronaldo with ease. I mean, really, I don't think so. Real Madrid will have an emotional or sentimental factor here. They will think with proper financial force. And I guess, I think Ramos will have to lower his demands, like he accepts a one-year contract proposal and a lower wages. But if he's sticking to his stance, I think he's on the way.
Yeah, we could. Just another point I wanted to make in terms of the league race with Madrid. Don't you think Madrid having so many injuries, they were still able to do so well? Doesn't the league also play a part in, you know, as to how inconsistent the other teams are? Just like we were talking about EPL.
Yeah. Real was inconsistent at for the important matches. Like whenever they had the opportunity to go ahead, they pulled it back in somehow. Like, okay. So yeah, that's what I mean. When it was needed, the performance was not there. So yeah, mm-hmm. That is true. To 100% true. I would agree to that.
So we could say that, you know, many of the leagues, it's only about 3-4 clubs who are good. The others who are challenging are not really up to the mark or where they should be. Do you see this as a common thing across all leagues?
No, but if you see for La Liga, like just 2 weeks back, there was Sevilla also in contention for the league. So the point difference between the top four was around 2 to 3 points, I guess. And then Sevilla and Barcelona fucked up. So yeah, if you talk from La Liga perspective, it was very tight if you see the top four. Whereas you see from the other leagues, it is not that much tight.
Sorry to interrupt. Contrary to the point Lokesh was saying, it's only English Premier League that the champions are easily selected on a match week 32 or 31, because City have been dominating. But I don't see that being the case in other leagues as well, because La Liga has been extremely competitive as well. We'll quickly move on to the other leagues as well. But just to finish up on a few final questions on Madrid. So Zidane staying, leaving, how would it impact the club? What do you think, Shubham?
Leaving.
Would he stay?
Leaving. So he is leaving mostly towards Italian clubs or for the French national team job. But he's not going to stay anymore because...
I just want to know the because of this. So bad.
Because see, there has been no support from the club whatsoever. I mean, there was at no point the people from the club at the senior director level have come out and backed Zidane at any point of time. There was no backing from them. There was no signing at any point. Whatever players he wanted were not given. If you see last 2-3 transfer windows, apart from after the Hazard one, there is nothing in the transfer market. So, and dragging this team along, and you know how the media is there in Madrid, Marca, and these guys are very manipulative. Even the day he came out of COVID, he was bashing at them. Like, please let me breathe at least. Like, these guys were literally behind him, and this Madrid job is high pressure and no one can take it for more than 2-3 seasons at a time. And with a trophyless season, it just adds up. It doesn't matter right. to them, like, yeah. So, yeah, that is the only point where...
Hazard was not got under Zidane, right?
He was got under Zidane.
Zidane was at Helm or the season when Zidane took over and... Okay, fine, yeah, fine.
Zidane wanted Hazard, sure of that. So let's finish up with Real quickly. One final take on Hazard, because there seems to be a lot of controversy around him. Would you be sold for, or would you still? I mean, I don't think you would give him time. But what do you think of Hazard, though?
Given the right offer, why not? Like, if someone is willing to give the amount, why not? I mean,
How much would you go for? 30?
50, 50, 55, 60. Whatever. That is not in my hand. Not in my hand.
How old is he?
30.
How old is
30?
30.
Yeah.
No chance. 60 million.
No chance.
That's what.
Right. I mean, it's
probably another Bale in Madrid. Then.
Oh, we've not even caught on Bale. So I mean, it's kind of like useless now to talk about Bale, because I mean, given he's done well in Tottenham, he's got limited chances and he's done well. He's got a hat-trick to win. He's a good player. I mean, there's no arguing of that. But I mean, I don't think he has a future at Madrid, though.
You know, today morning he was in Madrid. He left London. So, yep. Let's see. I mean, if he stays, he's going to take huge chunk of wages and probably won't play if Zidane stays.
I guess last Monday, the golf season also opened up. So maybe he's there for that.
All the right reasons, right? All the right reasons to be at Madrid right now.
PGA Tour.
Right. So we'll quickly move on to, we've finished with Madrid. We've done a good coverage on them. Provided a good coverage on them. We'll quickly move on to
Sorry, just a moment.
You have to do German league. I mean, really, I mean, Bundesliga is just the easiest league in the world, and Bayern seem to crack it. Because I feel part of it has to be the other catching pack. You know, they get their best players from the rival teams, and then it's so easy to win. So I think that plays a part.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. They raided Dortmund once. They were competitive. Dortmund were. Now they saw Leipzig performing too good, so they got their manager and their best centre back. I mean, how will Leipzig recover from that the next 2 seasons?
They're essentially killing the league, and then the rival team should also step up a notch. You know, I wouldn't see United selling to Liverpool or Madrid selling to Barca just when they're in their prime. So the league should really step it up.
See how the how good a proposition for a player when an offer comes from Bayern. I mean, guaranteed trophy. And high chance of winning UCL too. I mean, if it, of all the German clubs at least.
Good point.
You know,
that
is the too tough to turn down, right? I mean, just imagine you are a player playing for a mid-table club in Germany and you're doing good. So suddenly Bayern is interested in you. And so obviously, what would you do? Would you say, unless you're Marco Reus,
people would be
like, yeah, that's my dream club or something, right? They would move eventually.
Right.
So let's talk about Italy now.
I'm losing a lot of internet. I'm sorry for that. So we'll talk about Italy right now. I mean, there's just one team to talk about. I mean, multiple, but we'll focus on Juventus because it's such a debacle of a season they've had. It's. I just want to know how many of you guys actually think they deserve to be in the top four.
Nope, they don't. No, they don't.
I mean, given their arrogance of the owners, I mean, given their, the mentality around the club seems to be like we deserve to be in the top four. I mean, that attitude just shows with the European Super League debacle and all. I mean, it's just unfortunate.
See,
that you
say that they went through because of Napoli screwed up in the last match, I guess, 1-1 draw they had at home.
Right.
If not for that, they would be playing Europa next season, for sure. They let things out of their hands.
That would send ripples across Europe. You know, Juventus playing Europa League would be shocking to most people. Mostly,
considering they were still, they didn't back out of ESL yet.
Right.
Considering that they still didn't say anything no to this ESL entire thing. So, it would be a very embarrassing and the irony factor, I guess.
Right. So let me just put one question out in the open because of you guys. Many people think it's apparent. Do you see Zidane ever coming back to Juventus and managing it? Do you ever see that happening?
Yes, definitely. Actually, I'm thinking he will leave and he'll go there if the French job doesn't open up right away. Seriously,
right.
I really see him there because Pirlo is not exactly a good manager right now at Juventus. He don't have experience. Yeah, he managed to play clutch in some games, I guess, the last year especially, Coppa Italia final in the last two games in the league. But still, I mean, it shows the lack of experience. I mean, tactically, it's good in some ways, I guess. There's still a lot to improve and everything. But yeah, you don't have the squad also.
We're swiftly going to talk about the match day 38 phenomenon that happened yesterday. And Cristiano was benched. What do you make of that? What can a player...
No, I heard a report saying that Ronaldo was not feeling physically fit. So, he informed that to the coach. So, they took it out in a positive way. Nothing like he's benched or something or some feeling.
So, there's no story behind
needed tactical change. No. The controversy became because it's Ronaldo. That's it. But apparently, he was not physically fit. So, yeah, I think it's a good call anyway because they won. I mean, they were leading 4 up again at the end of 50th minute. It's a good choice anyway at the end.
Right. So, we'll quickly talk about Inter Milan because they're the champions. And what a team Conte has made. I mean, it's such a great team. And if you watch Inter play, you can see all that coming together and all. Inter are such a great, well-ridden team.
You know, league would have been much closer if Inter would have at least played Europa because they finished 4th in UCL. So, they literally didn't have Tuesdays or Wednesdays to play other than Coppa Italia. And that too, they exited very soon, I guess. I mean, early stages.
Right.
So they literally had to play for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess because AC Milan were also in contention till March ending, I guess, in Europa. And so I mean, every other team had some other thing except Juventus again, because Juventus were cashed out in round of 16. But they really had Coppa Italia to play for. Yeah, so I guess, Inter really had.
So,
go on.
Right. Right. So just about Ronaldo here. I mean, I would like to think what Gian and Shubham think. Do you see him leaving Juve? Do you see him stay for one more?
I don't find a reason for him to stay. I mean, there is all the reasons to leave, but there is no reason to stay. I mean, yeah, he has been legend for them for three seasons, but yeah, for what? I mean, he went there to at least get a sniff near the UCL, which is far away. So, not happening.
They have deteriorated since the time he has gone there.
Yeah, because there is no signings. I mean, Federico Chiesa is next level signing, but yeah, apart from that,
Los McKennie is good, but not to Juventus standards. They got back Morata as the striker from Atletico, but still, you need a defense. Yeah, you need a good damn defense behind. I mean, you can't have two oldies standing back. I mean, okay, they are good. They were good at once, but now you need to step up again. I mean, Delitt is there, but with them, they need a strong center back as well as a right back. You can't play Quadrato at the right.
What do you think of? Correct. But what do you think of Delict? Is he improving? Is he on the upper echelon? Is he yet? Or is he yet to reach it? What do you think of him?
He's growing towards it. But I feel he needs to play more, I feel. And I guess a season or more, I guess he will be considered one of the best. Like, not best, but a good proper centre-back, I feel. Because his time in Ajax was amazing. So he can reach a good top centre-back level.
So
actually I have a point to say. According to the smart stat, Juventus should be winning the title this year. But they screwed up at the clutch points. They lost so many points and they eventually lost it.
Right.
Yeah. So they should be crucial. I mean, they should take advantage of the crucial moments. They let away so many games at home too.
I personally think Pirlo has a lot to say in it, but I mean, it is what it is, I guess. So we'll quickly move on to France. I mean, because there's not much talk about France in any other angle than Lille has just won a phenomenal title. I mean, look, Paris and the Liga just go hand in hand and has already gone hand in hand. But Lille has done a fantastic job and they deserve all the credit. Guys?
Sorry, I didn't catch you.
My internet is going haywire. All right, I was just saying that PSG and Liga go hand in hand and they have to win this. But then again, Lille team has done phenomenal work behind the ground and then they deserve to win it, don't they?
Yeah, they did because PSG had dropped quite a few points at the start of the season as well. I mean, In fact, League One has become more competitive than what it was. I mean, it was initially called as the Farmers League and the easiest team. But this year, in fact, it went to the final day down to the wire. It was very surprising for me. Even like teams like AS Monaco, Lyon and Lille, all PSG, all were fighting for the title. I'm very happy for Monaco also, the way they have fought since the past 2 years. I mean, like they had a miserable couple of seasons. I mean, finishing 17th and 9th respectively, and then suddenly coming into Champions League spots again. So yes, it's becoming more competitive. That's really, really good to see. I mean, we hope this continues for a few more years as well, and we get to see new winners.
Though? What do you think of Pochettino though? Does he
He's already got. See, he you. Your coach going to a team which has a lot of money and has one of the best forwards and pacey lineups. I mean, you got to expect to win at least a League One title. I mean, the expectations are there at least to win the League One title. But unfortunately, right, he couldn't even manage that. So now the question arises like, now because people were at when he was at Spurs, they used to troll him that Spurs are going to be always trophy-less, so he needs to get a move somewhere. But unfortunately, he missed out on the League One title as well. So, right, credits to Lille, the way they have played the entire season.
But, you know, Lille, it shouldn't be too hard on Porto right now, because see, you should acknowledge that they literally crashed Bayern out of the Champions League, which include Barcelona. I mean, if you want to include the heavyweight name there.
See, but and ultimately,
also,
Nihar,
he overtook the season midway. So you have to give him
agreed,
the chance.
Agreed, but ultimately, Yeah, Baba, but ultimately, the thing is, you need to win something, right? You need to win something. He took Spurs to a Champions League final. That was also there one thing. But
he
the thing is, ultimately, if you would have touched that silverware...
He won two domestic trophies.
Yeah. Ever since the not World domestic Cup. Trophy, Baba. You're not. You're having an expectation, a club who is expecting to win League One every year almost and the Champions League with this kind of a squad. You're telling me that he's happy with just domestic clubs. I mean, you think that El Nazari is going to be happy with a domestic trophy hiring Pochettino with such a PSG lineup, having a world's expensive player and a world's fastest player.
No. But you have to see that he took over the season midway. He took over, right? Midway. He didn't get the
transfer. Took over the season midway for Tuchel. See, they were not in a very miserable place. They were third when Tuchel was sacked and Pochettino was hired. So I don't see them. They were like around 4 or 5 points behind the table toppers. I guess whoever the table toppers, Leon or Lily, whoever they were.
And for this point, I'd say even Tuchel took Chelsea side midway, but he has done wonders with that.
Exactly. He's done exceptionally well, right? Yeah, obviously, but still, if I am saying that if Lampard was there in Chelsea, I don't think Chelsea would have been in top six compared.
And reach a Champions League final.
Exactly.
Champions League final is a way off. He would have been thrashed there, thrashed by some any end. He could have been thrashed long way off. Round of 16, maybe. Even Sevilla, any team like who did they play in the round of 16? I don't recollect, but
I mean,
they would have been
thrashed
for sure.
Let's go further back. Madrid would have kicked them out. That for sure.
Madrid would have kicked them out. Of course, yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
You see another prime example for if this person comes in, would he be better? Doesn't always work.
Exactly. Positive. Because the basic aim for El Nazari is obviously you hire a good coach. Pochettino is obviously a good coach, but your main aim is not winning a domestic cup. It's like he's coming to Manchester City. Pep Guardiola is hired by Manchester City and to not win an FA Cup or a Community Shield. I mean, you think that he'll be thrown out next season if he doesn't win a Premier League or a Champions League or something. But he's been consistent in the Premier League since so many years.
No, City are in final jersey.
Hey, Neymar to counters me every point.
No. I'm talking final jersey. Imagine Pep was thrown out. Do you think City will be in final now? No, it's a 5-year-long procedure. I mean, they took stand with him. They got the signings done, whomever he wants, and now they're actually the best club in the world right now. It takes time. I mean, you change managers because you have ego issues. You change managers because he's not delivering on Champions League. You'll never get the Champions League. Paris are not going to win it. If they're really doing, they should stick with one. I think they should take examples from Arsenal at least in this point right now. Because Arsenal had the worst season recently, but still they're sticking with Arteta.
Neymar is a huge Madrid fan. That I can pick up, man.
No. When did I say Madrid? I said Arteta, right? Arsenal.
Actually, you said Arsenal. Okay, I heard it as Madrid.
Yeah, so yeah, just stick with the manager. If you really don't trust him, why do you hire him? Simple as that.
Right.
6 months
Arsenal has stopped competing for the title. I guess they are just competing in a mid-season table of fight for a Europa League place.
They're just competing for the best London club award. That's that.
Yeah, maybe could be. Yes, they are no more. See, it was a debate on Twitter also sometime back. They were planning to snub Arsenal off the top six. I mean, the big six called the big so-called the big six and add Leicester City up there. But I don't know how far it is true, but it is still debatable. But Arsenal are a mid-table team, right? And for now, at least since the past 3 to 4 years, they are never a competitive team because since
Paris and Germain, now they are done with Premier League anyway. Before, so.
Oh, thank you for cutting me off every single time, asshole.
Yeah, keep that. So listen, you have to stick with the manager or some solid structure, right? I mean, you really can't sack managers in and out. Who will you get? You can sack coach.
Right. I don't think Jayan was referring to sacking the manager anyway. I mean, he deserves time. Unlike Arteta, though, he truly deserves time.
No sacking manager. Of course not. Sacking manager is never a solution unless your club is in a very pathetic place like Lampard.
Right.
Chelsea.
Right.
I think he was stressing more on the fact that Pochettino should have still been able to win the league.
They should have
because the games like the against Monaco, PSG have lost games against Minos, which they usually don't. They used to thrash these teams like Nice or Rangers or someone like that. They used to clash at 6-0, 7-0 at once, and now suddenly they were struggling against them. Neymar getting sent off, for some pathetic fouls, and that is not acceptable. And Pochettino was like, he's not that aggressive as he used to be in Spurs. I mean, he's just, I don't know, somehow become more calmer or more like that cool guy who's not willing to like take up the responsibility or anything, because he's having one of the best, deadliest like attacking forwards in the world. And he thinks, okay, with that thing, he could beat anyone, but he has to be a little aggressive like Pep, according to me.
Right. So with that, that is our take on the top five leagues. I mean, if you don't want to include Germany. But then again, that was our take on it. I mean, we definitely had fun discussing the seasons that has gone by. I mean, with true respect to all the fans, I mean, we truly are missing the fans in the stadium. And we've seen with fans what a tremendous impact of... So we've seen fans and their importance. But this has truly been a spectacular season. One of a kind, if you would say. But these are the winners that have won... tremendously with no fans and also, and they deserve all the praise as it is. So that is it for today's episode. We've had fun discussing the various leagues and all. Next episode, we'll cover the Euros and probably the transfers. So plug back in. That's it. Thank you.